Well, here we are, and it is June 2020, one day before the beginning of summer. We had a lot of fun with Steve Barish last night, as usual, and Bella Bird, and Buddy Bird, and my daughter Megan. We had a good talk about Morgellons disease. If you want to learn more about that, go to last night's, the June 19th Friday Night Live show. Today we're going to do one of my seminar tapes. It has a little bit of a ring to it. I apologize for that. But I do believe that you'll enjoy the content, which will sort of compensate for the ring of this one. This is one we haven't played yet. So it's going to be kind of cool. And I'm in a big seminar here as it starts out. Dr. Fred, are you there? There you are. There's a little bit of a ring there, but it won't be bad.
So you can wake up in the morning and remember your childhood as it was, but tomorrow you can wake up again and your childhood would be different. You'd have a different childhood. Even though this body, your body, went through a series of events to this point in time that you think that, you know, because of your linear scale of your evolution, you think that's what your childhood was. And in fact, it was in space and time, in your own space and time reality. And my childhood, space and time reality. But when divine intervention comes along, they go into the holograph itself and they rearrange events. So in fact, your childhood, as you know it, as your emotional body knows it, as your DNA recorded it, may not be the same anymore. It may be different. And the reason it would be different is because we're coming in to a time, okay, in space, in life, where linear events don't make any sense anymore. And we're coming into a time in space, in events, where the wholeness is more of an importance. So the individualizations, the characterizations that we worked off the
time. There's a slight hum there, but I think it might go away a little bit.
That you worked off, we're assuming now that those lessons have been learned. And in the scheme of things, there's not time for the whole human race, each person individually, to learn the lessons to get to a certain point. Because the universe is reaching a space and time, which is the year 2000, wherein everything becomes more of a oneness. So you can take all of the character out of history and erase it, basically. Yeah, it's totally, you can erase the character of history because it doesn't make any sense anymore. Tradition is pretty much going to be gone. So
you're getting into mind instead of sense
centric
sense of the body.
Yeah. So it's you know, we got a multi bunch of consciousness groups, you know, people in different levels here at the seminar. So I'm gonna start with the Pleiadian side of it, and then we'll jump off into the holographic side of it. Okay? You got to look at time as a comet. The best way to describe time is a comet. There's no better way. The center of the comet, which is moving through space, is the reality of the here and the now. The tail of the comet is the past tense, is history. And the present is here. If you were to take an individual and go back in time travel as an individual unit, go back in time and make a change, let's say you went back and assassinated Hitler, fine. You wouldn't stop World War II and you wouldn't change a damn thing in the present. Because the mass consciousness is not centered in the past, but it's centered in the present. What you would do is see a series of temporal results that would gradually fade out into the present. But if you were to take the entire human race back for Hitler's time and make a change, then there would be a change in the present. And that's precisely what the Andromedans are doing. Okay? They're going back into the past. With the power of the consciousness, the entire human race is making changes now. And that's why it's getting so sketchy in the present right now.
How are they empowering the human race?
Well, that's a whole other technology. It's done through vortexes. You have to go into energy centers in the universe. Vortexes, like the Laguna Vortex. And you work through these vortexes, because these vortexes are time-space continuums where energy comes from inner planes down through the hydrogen atom in the human body and out into this present reality that we call the third dimension. So it's all of that kind of thing. It takes time to jump right into that right now, but I'll show you some stuff here. First of all, I think this morning what we should do with this group is my life meditation working now?
Mm-hmm.
Good. Yes, we're going to start with the seven rays. Now, when you start with the seven rays, you've got seven levels of consciousness. Okay? And everything that we're going to talk about at this seminar is going to be keyed off of these different seven rays. And so you need to learn to think in colors, basically. Consciousness. You need to think in colors. So you need to learn to think in the seven rays. All vitamins, for example, fall into seven vibratory patterns. And these vibratory patterns fall in these rays. All music sound falls into these different, all A, B, C, D, E, F, G, the notes. Everything falls into this. Everything comes into us through the hydrogen atom, and everything is expressed in octaves and harmonics and combinations. Yeah. What happened with animals or small children is when I start doing these seminars, the energy gets so intense, and the concentration gets so intense, the animals go nuclear. I'm getting used to it.
That was a nuclear cat.
And animals have to be. So that could be a seminar.
Started meowing.
Possible. In Germany, I've had that happen. And they really get mad over there because everybody in the wintertime carries their dog with them, you know. But first of all, what we're going to do is we're going to start with creation. And it's a very simple meditation. There we go. The meditation is going on. Comprehend its brilliance. absolute nothing and this white light alternate in cycles. And these cycles are called, in the absence of light, Manavantara, and it's our Prayalaya. And the Prayalaya is the darkness, it's forever. And the white light is Manavantara, the existence of everything. Now, even though we're in the present reality, where we conceive of finite things, this non-existence and this everlasting existence of nothing is constantly vibrating back and forth. And in between these vibrations, creation is formed. And one of the things of creation, one of the characteristics of creation is to make the observation of itself being non-existent and existent simultaneously. And this is the beginning of the vibratory rate. When you get into Pleiadian science, we go through the characteristics of the manifestation, the characteristics of Manavantara. When you get into the Andromedan consciousness, you get into the characteristics of the vibratory rate of Manavantara and Prayalaya simultaneously. And this rhythm, as it begins to express itself in the consciousness, becomes holographic or finite. But it's an everlasting, eternal finiteness. So now imagine, all of a sudden, in this blackness, this white light, and it doesn't go away, it stays now. It doesn't alternate between the blackness and the lit part. It just doesn't go away anymore. White light is now the energy known as the Father. It's the first manifestation of creation, the Father. And this white light, being the Father energy, comes into our physical bodies. The moment it strikes our physical bodies, the white light, like a prism in the sunlight, splits into seven different colors. The first color that comes from the white is red. And the red manifests as a principle of the totality of the white light. The red immediately strikes a planet and breaks its energy down, gives it a gravity, becomes a source of gravity. As soon as the red strikes a planet, which it is itself created, it becomes a force, and the force is the willpower. It becomes the energy known as the will. And that planet has a correlation in the human body known as the pineal gland. So when the white light, which is instantaneous creation, strikes, the human form, which is geometry in itself, the manifestation of the seven rays, its first expression is the pineal gland, its color becomes red, its planet will be Mercury, and it becomes will, the power to get up in the morning to motivate, the power to force yourself into relaxation to become one with creation. It's the prime mover of all manifestations, the will. It's red. It falls down through the mineral kingdom in colors of red, like rubies. It's the energy of the sunset at its peak moment. Now we're aware of a second manifestation. We're aware of the music sounds. We're aware of the voice of Fred Bell, and we become aware of our thoughts. This individualization, this awareness of our thoughts, is a power called love. It becomes the second manifestation of the universe. The Father being the will, the first male energy, the second energy becoming love. It immediately strikes the body below the neck in the heart chakra and yields a blue energy. It's known as the energy of the sun, S-O-N, the sun. So it becomes the second aspect of the universe known as love, universal love, blue. So now we have the individualization of our thoughts, the manifestation of the white light, power of will, and the power of love. The totality of that part of creation is known as the Holy Ghost, the female energy. It combines the two in the color green and manifests directly between the heart and between the pineal gland. And that comes through the thyroid energy. This energy is known as intellect. The female energy of the universe is intellect, the Holy Ghost. It's the summation and the totality of the white light and love. So the will, the love, and the intellect are the prime three of the universe. Its color is emerald. These are the first three rays. Becomes yellow, and it's the ray of compassion, the ray of the Buddha, coming from the solar plexus. It gives us the wisdom to understand the feelings and understandings of others. In consciousness, it's the ray of intuition, the intuitive nature within us all. So now we have the will, we have love, we have intellect, we have intellect, and we have intuition. Then we come to the fifth ray, which is the Pleiadian ray, which is orange. It's called the ray of concrete science and knowledge. It moves all through the body. Then we have the sixth ray, which is indigo in color, color of lapis, which is devotion, the reason for motion, the reason for doing things. And finally, we have the seventh ray, which is the base of the spine, which is a ray of ceremonial magic and order. It's the box, the feet, the pyramid. These are the seven rays. The violet ray also becomes the physical plane. The sixth ray becomes the astral plane. The fifth ray becomes the mental plane. The fourth ray becomes the plane of intellect. The third ray, the plane of intuition. Third ray becomes the plane of intellect. The second ray is the ray of love. And the first ray is the ray of will. Everything manifests from this and everything else through the hydrogen in the body. Okay, now you can open your eyes again and readapt to this plane. Great, Mr.
Jason. You like that? I was kind of like shouting over the music. It was about two hundred dB too loud, but I guess it has more of an effect if it's too loud, right, Dr. Bell? Will you keep space out on that one or what? Huh? Go on. Yeah, everybody wanted me to shout. Did you? How did you like that one, right? That worked for you? That works. That gives you the seven rays. So
So now you can understand from a point of feeling what these rays are all about. Now, when you get down to the physical plane has seven sub-levels. And as the denizens of the physical plane, the beings of the physical plane, start to realize the spiritual roots of where they come from, they become aware of the subculture of the physical plane. As they become aware of the subculture of the physical plane, it allows cultures of higher planes to be interpreted into their reality, and eventually that reality, that interpretation, becomes what it is in the center of this comet. First, we have solids. If I were to be giving this seminar in front of a bunch of cavemen, we would easily understand what solid is. There would be no demonstration necessary for what is solid. If I were to mention what is liquid, there would really be no necessity to demonstrate that, because we could look at the ocean of some water. But if I got to the point of gas, and we're living in the Cro-Magnon time, there might be some discussion now if I'm trying to say, yes, in fact, gas exists. So what I would have to do is I would have to get an old clay pot and put some water in it, put a fire under it, and boil it, and let everybody see the steam. As soon as the whole room realized that there was steam, then there would be a whole new reality in this room of gas. And that would then go out to the entire world, because everybody in here would be so excited to demonstrate gas that they would go out and they would teach this to all the other cavemen and all the caves all over the world. This inaugurates a thought form called mass consciousness. And so what we're dealing with now is where this mass thought form really is. Okay? Now, John, do I have my slides here now? Yes, are they here? Okay. Well, all I was trying now for 6 months to get my slides is one seminar. I don't have them. But anyway, what I would like to show you, and I have slides you can look at them, you just probably end up having to look at them, is that many years ago, in my seminars, I said, as mass consciousness came up through these different planes, up through the ionic plane, it would begin to allow the emotional plane to have visibility on the physical plane. Okay? It would make the emotional plane, which is where you go to sleep at night and dream, have a profile that heretofore was probably denied by most people on the physical plane. And if you don't have that clarity for the interpretation of the astral plane coming down to the physical plane, you basically go out of alignment and become insane. Okay? You become a serial killer because they don't dream. You become, you know, a child molester. You become a rapist. You become some horrible thing that will manifest on the physical plane. And the third thing to realize is that the Earth, in its mechanics of the precession of the equinox, as it moves through the universe, changes its vibratory pattern too, to such a point that life in the caveman, the Cro-Magnon caveman, can no longer exist. It has to make a move. It has to transit. It has to evolve. God evolves. God raises its frequency. The consciousness of the oneness has to change. The moth has to fly into the flame at some point. And this is the time that we're going into. And so as a result, there are certain desires, because desire is a plane, it comes from the plane of emotion. Hideous visualizations, as well as divine visualizations, become ever present and ever
accessible to our consciousness. And if you look at, for example, I'm sure everybody in here has had a divine thought. I'm sure every one of us in here has had a hideous thought. Because those thought forms are always there. And the discipline to manifest the physical plane energies becomes ever more present. It becomes easier to kill someone. It becomes easier to dematerialize and go into another dimension. Because these two thought forms are side by side. This animal nature that our bodies are made of becomes more tenuous to these most abstract thoughts as we move in our solar system, in our sun and earth and moon cycle, around the planes in this series of star clusters known as the Pleiades. That's why he talks about in the book of Job, verse 35-34, "You should be bound down by the belts of Orion, or you should be set free by the sweet influence of the Pleiades." And I think if you look at the media right now, a perfect example of a very beautiful soul that completely became overcome by a negative thought form in a moment of passion, destroyed his wife and her friend in our criminal system, as you see it now, is a perfect example of the moment of the hour of what's going on with O.J. Simpson. It's the perfect thing for people to realize. And a person like O.J. has been in my living room, he's been in our light shows. He was a brother of our tribe at one point until he left Laguna. Here's a person that was a beautiful soul that just snapped. And it's so easy to snap. And when you snap like he did and do something like he did, boom, the whole world has that. And he was chosen as a demigod, and his ex-wife was chosen as a demigoddess to make a perfect example of how easy it is to cross the line. Because it's so easy to have a great thrill, and it's so easy to be damned. So we're coming to the crossroads of that in time now. And that is what we have to begin to understand. And the graves, the little dirty bastards that we call the graves, are here to orchestrate as much negativity into our lives in every way, shape, or form as possible. And some of the slides that I'll show you, you can look at them. A number of years ago, back in the 70s, I said, as we made this circuit, as the Earth and the Moon and the Sun made this circuit around the Pleiades, which takes 25,827.5 years, and each there's a period of darkness and there's a period of light. And as we made the circuit in 2,000 year periods, we would come from the Piscean age where the level of integrity of the incarnating soul would start to receive the freedom to break the cycle of revelation around the Pleiades. When this happened, the whole world would start bending down to the whims of the astral plane. And one thing that if you look at on the front cover of Time magazine, which was out about 7 months ago, which is one of my slides, it says 80% of the human race believes in angels. Then if you look at the second page of the Los Angeles Times, it says more and more bizarre phenomena being recorded worldwide, almost in the same breath. At the same time, I talked about in the past how the government made the secret treaty with the Greys. You can learn about it in my tape series. I'm not going to go into the seminar because that's not what it's about, that verification. Basically, I said that the Haig-Kissinger depopulation policy was launched back at the end of the 50s and early 60s. It's moving forward now. They've released more bacteria. I had one of the first articles on flesh-eating bacteria. That stuff hits your system within 72 hours if you don't remove. It's like instant termites in the body. If you don't have a surgical operation to remove that entire section in 72 hours, you lose a good portion of your body. That's here now. Another virus that was released was even in Laguna. They had a big scare down here in the north part of town at the schools, which they call a rodent virus that causes people to die of paralysis of the lungs, which comes on like pneumonia. That was introduced to Los Alamos about a year ago. As a matter of fact, we were there and 11 Indians died that weekend. The AIDS virus, which is a combination or culmination of the cattle bovine virus and the sheep Vishnu virus, which is a virus that attacks the immune system and the allergic system simultaneously, which yields a low resistance to disease and a high and low resistance to fluids in the lungs, giving you pneumonia. That was released, that was introduced in the hepatitis B virus after it came out of the laboratories in Langley in 1978, 2,000 homosexuals in San Francisco. They all died. And the offspring of that was germinated over the entire world. Now we have the second phase of that coming this summer, which you'll see in the news, when the mosquitoes become flying contaminated needles and start infecting the world population with AIDS by mosquito bites. And that's going to happen this year, and it's starting now. It's already come up in a few remote cases in the news of children that came down with AIDS, even though their parents were not homosexuals, they were not having any kind of contact, they had no blood transfusions or operations, and the kids came up HIV positive. This is all coming now, and we have to deal with it. There are ways of dealing with it, but my point to you at this point in the seminar is to understand this is all coming at us right now. So we need to use these sciences and use these understandings to negate the negative effects of what is about to hit this planet like nothing you can even imagine. Okay? Any questions so far on what we're talking about? Anybody understand it all? Good.
Good question.
Yeah.
So when you're going through the manifestation, you're saying that not only is it from, say, the chakra to the other chakra polarity, it's also every hydrogen atom is also manifesting as energy outward.
Well,
so two things going on.
Yeah, there's many things going on simultaneously. Now, when we start, as we go into this now, first of all, most of us have been educated in the world of biochemistry. Okay? That's the world of the medical doctor, that's the world of the spiritualist, that's the world of the healer, the naturalist. Biochemistry. Biochemistry took an amazing split about 100 years ago during the time of Louis Pasteur, when he had invented pasteurization. At the same time, Samuel Hahnemann was also getting in and starting up the field of homeopathy. And so immediately a split took place. Now Hahnemann, his idea was, if you have been infected with something, put the poison in there and combat poison versus poison. And that will cure the problem. If you treat disease or disorientation of the cellular structure and the integrity of the cellular structure of the body, if you treat it with exactly what caused it to go awry or astray, you can negate it. Louis Pasteur said, no, we can invent ways of the body is basically bacteria. It's friendly bacteria and unfriendly bacteria, aerobic and anaerobic bacteria. And if we flood the bacteria out of the system, we sterilize the system every once in a while, we can flush out all forms of infections. And therefore, we can sterilize the body once in a while and make it perfect, and therefore we can fight disease. And so, the medical profession, or what would become the medical profession, looked at the two avenues. The Hahnemann approach was very diligent, required large amounts of discipline, you know, infinite tinctures of diluted poisons to thousands of times, you know, like a 10x solution is 1/10 diluted, 1,000 is 1,000 times more diluted. It required a tremendous amount of discipline, whereas the Pasteur approach required nothing more than drugs, the easy way out. So society chose the path of the drug, the antibiotics, and everything that led after that, and the biochemistry to go ahead and cover up all the symptoms and the ailments, because nobody wanted to sit around here and wait 6 months for something to go out of the system permanently when you could cover it up and just have minor reoccurrences to the point where one of these minor reoccurrences would kill you. So this is where the sciences split. Okay, so that was the split of the medical. Now, you'll never understand what the good and the bad side of both, because they both have a good side, they both have a bad side. There's shortcuts. So you learn to intermix all of these things. Okay? But then we go back again to the science of electricity. The science of electricity now integrates what has to happen before biochemistry takes place. So rather than go into the myriad of possible imagination of the science of biochemistry, we back up in the science of electricity and we begin to understand the electrical characteristics that causes biochemistry to happen. Then we can get a handle on both sciences much quicker and a handle on the body much quicker. Then we back up to the science of what the Pleiadians brought to us, which is the science of electrical precursation. Science of electrical precursation takes into account things that have to happen on these different levels of consciousness, the etheric, second etheric, third etheric level. These things manipulated can then cause things to happen here much quicker and much more ordered on the lower level. So Pleiadian technology takes into account and teaches us things about electrical precursation. On the negative side, we could say stress would cause a problem. On the positive side, we could say good music, good sound vibrations. Okay? On the negative side, we could say silence would be negative sound. On the positive side, we could say celestial music. On the negative side, we could say a job is creating a stress. On the positive side, meditation overcomes that. These are the signs and things that we need to understand. When you get into the science of these vibratory changes, which are etheric level changes, you get into the receptors and all of these systems here. They go from the precursing level back up on the astral plane. That's where they start, the science of electrical precursation. We come into the Andromeda science. We come into primarily the science of DNA. This is basically where the Andromeda science leads us beyond the Pleiadian science. But realize, a Pleiadian will live up to 1,200 years. And Tumiasi's father is somewhere between 12 and 1,500 years. And that's a tremendous lesson. And so it's nice to approach this science on a Pleiadian level, but it's also nice to know that the roots go back to an Andromic level, the science of DNA itself. Now, humans lived here for 600-700 years, 12,000 years ago, during the Atlantean times. We lived that long, okay? The Greys came in 12,495 B.C., and they got with the black priests of Heliopolis and the black priests of Poseidon in Atlantis, and they created scalar wave warfare using this technology for a negative form. With the Greys introducing that to these priests, they erased the DNA level very quickly and shortened the lifespan of humans down to something less than 100 years. At the same time, they created negative vortexes where the wars took place off the coast of Miami as one of them, the Bermuda Triangle, where the Poseidon was located when it vaporized. They created vortexes that even today feed the world with negativity. And so these are things about our planet that we need to learn about. Why the Bermuda Triangle behaves the way it does. These kinds of things. Okay? Now, simultaneously, as we move around the Pleiades in this precession of the equinox, mass consciousness becomes far more advanced than the cave consciousness of gas and ionic. Mass consciousness starts to manifest up on the third and second etheric levels. Things that were normally seen out of the corner of the eye become flagrantly visible and hit us head on. And those of us can see that can negate these energies, and those of us that cannot see it are swept away. So we're coming in to this time right now where the whole human race is going into the semi-weaking, waking and sleeping state. So now we've got to start. Basically, where do we start with this? The basic place to start is on the physical plane with the understanding of the core of the human instrument on biochemical levels. So we started out with the mineral kingdom. The body is 5% minerals, yet these 5% of minerals control 95% of all metabolic functions. So, we have to have large amounts of minerals in our body. If you were to take a wire, like an ordinary wire, and put the battery across it, the electricity would move from the negative to the positive direction in the wire, creating a magnetic field at right angles. Okay? This is precisely what happens in the brain. If the brain is like an electronic generator, it generates electricity. If you were to remove the battery from this wire and bring a magnet next to the wire and push the north pole of the magnet into the wire and move it one way, the electricity would move with it. If you were to turn the positive side of the magnet over, the electricity would be attracted again to the magnet and the electricity would move another way. So it would create a waking, an ebbing and flowing magnetic wave. This ebbing and flowing magnetic wave that you're creating becomes an alternating source of electricity. And so if you were to connect this idea up to a river, and you were to take a big water wheel and connect it to a magnet, and place a magnetic coil around the magnet, as the north pole went one way and the south pole went the other way, it would cause a frequency change of all of these different currents in the body, or in the wire. And the rate of this spinning of north and south polarity was pulling and pushing of electrons back and forth through the wire. The rate of collapsing and building a magnetic field is called vibration. And all music, all sound, all light is keyed in to this science. This has become a science. And this is what physics is built upon, the science of vibratory frequency. In the human body, we don't have a spinning magnet. What we have in the human body is a series of spinning magnets. And if you look at what a magnet's made of, it's made out of iron. Iron is charged with magnetic field energy. If you take a magnet and you bring a nail or hammer to it and you rub the magnet, permanent magnet around the nail, it magnetizes it. This iron is a mineral. And specifically what happens in the body is this entire motion of this wheel is represented by the mineral kingdom. So you have an infinite series of vibratory possibilities available in the human brain. But this infinite series of human possibilities has to be fed every day. And if you don't feed it, you'll have holes in its series of possibilities, and therefore you'll have holes in 95% of your body. Okay? So the mineral kingdom becomes very important. The mineral kingdom has to be utilized in the human frame in two ways. One, minerals taken internally from outside sources. Two, outside source minerals being in the vicinity of the human that has the minerals internally, so that there can be a feedback between the outside minerals and the minerals present within the human body. Okay? That's why in our systems we have people taking large amounts of trace minerals and other minerals. At the same time, we have people living environments full of all kinds of different crystals from all over the world, from the North Pole and the South Pole of the planet, both polarities. Okay? And the idea is to get the interaction between the crystal mineral environment into your life. What are the alternatives? The alternatives are to live in a home away from minerals, like in a city, where you have maybe granite and steel, to breathe the chemicals that rape your body of the minerals, and not to put the minerals in your body. And this, of course, will gradually cause insanity. And I'll explain why in a little bit. So, therefore, we use large amounts of minerals here, externally, and we use large amounts of minerals internally in our Pleiadian, Andromedan-styled systems of expression. Okay? It becomes very important to know why we're doing this stuff. For example, just to show you vibration, a few basic lessons in vibration. Okay, here we have a synapse in the brain, an alternating synaptic junction going on. The hormones are arriving at the brain. They're turning off switches. From the brain, they're generating impulses down the spinal cord. And then when they get to the base of the spine, these vibrations are mixing with the cerebral spinal fluid. The cerebral spinal fluid is then retransmitting itself back up to the brain, called feedback, and then going down again and back again. If you get this series of events working harmoniously in the body, you can evolve your consciousness and your physical being into a perfect entity of pure light. Like John Castillo.
Question. I have a question about that.
Yeah.
Isn't that the safer of the basic
points? Yeah. Put a small sinusoidal waveform out. You would see on the oscilloscope, which would measure this energy, a series of waveforms. So let's just say that I did a musical note in G or D. Then if I were to bring my voice up to a higher octave, like that, I would now have a higher frequency. Okay? And if I was on key, I would look from low G to high A. At a certain point, these waveforms would touch. And these would be called harmonic points.
That would be in phase.
In phase, right. If I were to hook a light-emitting diode to a power supply and emit light into a photosensor, the high frequency of light would be way up. You wouldn't hear it anymore, but you'd now see it. And once again, there would be phase crossing points between the sound and the light. What's really important is to get the body completely correlated on all phases of vibration. Okay? And going from sound, from low G to a high A, we span what are called octaves, or families, the characteristics of these synchronizing vibratory frequencies into color. We go up higher in frequency. So that means the sound and certain colors will now have a correlation. The environment that our five senses gets feedback from here is not keyed to make this harmony possible. And because it's not keyed to make this harmony possible, you have negative feedback. This negative feedback is the aging process. Okay? It's the aging process. So it becomes necessary to reverse the aging process by creating an environment wherein you are more harmonious with what's going on inside of us. Okay? Anybody that's ever ridden inside of a Pleiadian ship would instantly know what harmony is all about. It's so harmonious in there that if you try to take a picture, the picture just comes out in waves because the picture doesn't even want to focus on anything. It just wants to be, the camera wants to become one with the environment. It's basically what happens, okay? So now you're getting an idea. So we got to get back down to earth here again.
All along, go back to the zero condition.
Right. Well, you're starting to understand what I'm pointing to right now. When you practice higher living conditions, as you call it, higher living conditions, something happens. You could go to a doctor, and the doctor could diagnose you with terminal cancer and say, don't worry about it, don't take it personal. Your grandfather died of cancer, your mother had it, great-grandfather, he had it. It runs in the family, you know. So it's the limitation of the genetic heredity that's been transferred into your DNA structure. Or you could go to the doctor, and he could say, gee, Ralph, you're in perfect health. There's nothing wrong with you. You're 80 years old, and you're getting ready to run the Olympics with triathlon. You know, you're in perfect shape. Because your grandfather was an Olympic person. Your great-great-grandfather was a runner. He used to run around in Tibet hundreds of miles an hour, you know, per day. So you can go into that hereditary thing. So what I'm saying is, at best, when you get into these higher rhythmic things that we're talking about in the seminar, we'll be going into more intimately, you will introduce back into your DNA something that may give you 8 or 10 or 12 or maybe 15 more years of life. Who the hell, we don't have a control group here, so you can't really prove it. But you will introduce into your children something that might give them 50 or 100 more years. And they, in turn, might introduce that into their children, which would give them another 50 or 100 years. And that's the basis for why we have these seminars, why I do what I do, and what I've been here to do, evidently, because it seems to work. I know it's kept me alive. I should have been dead a long time ago, the way I became. And I'm still here. I'm still in perfect health, so I don't know what's wrong. I don't fit with the system too well. So, now, what do we do? Well, immediately, we need to go into minerals. Okay, we have three different forms of minerals that go into the body. Three different forms of minerals that go into the body. Okay, we have the basic minerals that we put in here. How do we get them into our bodies? We get them into our bodies by chelating therapy. In other words, if you eat a mineral from a piece of meat or a fish or whatever you, however you take your minerals in, or some fruit that happens to have some, most fruit doesn't. Your body is absorbing minerals through a series of enzymes. And so therefore, these minerals are chelated. They're pre-chelated. But unfortunately, the environment is being rained on from hell in every which way you can name. I don't even think I'll have to quote anyway, because I think you're pretty much aware of that. You wouldn't be here. So it becomes necessary to take minerals that are chelated from some source that you can trust. And that's even getting hard to do. Before John Anderson and I got together, who owns the company that makes our vitamins for us over in Phoenix, Integrated Health, I had this formula, probably two-thirds of what's in here now. And I was going to different labs around the country to get it made. And when I knew it wasn't working right, because the labs, being greedy, were cheating on me all the time. So finally, when John got big enough over there, I said, John, you gotta start making my vitamins, because I know I'm getting cheated. And so he ran a chemical analysis on them in two different labs, one was down here in Oceanside, and he found out about two-thirds of the stuff that I claimed on the label wasn't even there. Okay? So it became very, integrity has a lot to do with it. I guess why he calls himself Integrated Health. Integrated means integrity somehow. So we have all the base metals in here. The iron, you know. All the things that feed the, what I call, third octave of the body. The third octave of the body is the autonomic nervous system, which is responsible for your heart to beat. It's responsible for your breathing. All of these kinds of things. Okay? Base minerals. We put those in there. We get up into the second phase of minerals, the second octave. We transcend from the autonomic to the sympathetic nervous system. The sympathetic nervous system thresholds the immune system. It also thresholds consciousness, because in the immune system, the first mineral that comes up immediately is chromium. And chromium is not in food. You've got to take it from a good source. If you were to get sick, the first thing you would put in your body would not be vitamin C, because you might be feeding viruses. They eat vitamin C, just like good viruses and bad viruses. You know, they all eat vitamin C. You need to direct the therapy into intelligence. And of course, what is intelligence? Intelligence is in the mineral kingdom. It's coming from the 5% of the body into 95% of the flow of the body. Okay? So chromium will be the first damn thing you put in your body when you start to come down with any kind of a symptom of anything going wrong with you. Okay? Because immediately the body generates helper T cells from chromium. Then, once the helper T cells are out there, now you can throw in some vitamin A to kick up the immune system, and then throw in some vitamin C to direct death to the bad virus and health to the good viruses. But people who start pumping vitamin C, coming down with some sickness, are crazy unless they get the chromium in there to direct it in the first place. Okay? Because minerals have intelligence. Boom. You need that. Now, I'll get into that a little bit deeper as we get a little bit further into this. Just remember that. We use a special type of chromium in here called chromium picolinate, which is a patented formula. You can buy it at the health food stores and supplement this if you want to. I do that to keep my cholesterol balanced. Then we go to the high frequency minerals. The high frequency minerals works through another series of wires. And realize all of this electricity is going down through the spine through these different nuclei of wiring diagrams, each wiring highway being a different frequency. We get into the autonomic nervous system. The autonomic nervous system, I'm sorry, the parasympathetic nervous system. The parasympathetic nervous system is called the 10th cranial nerve of the body, or the psychic area of the body. And what it does is it gives us the ability to bring consciousness from the fourth ray, okay, the plane of intuition. So it gives us, on a physical level, the ability to channel, the ability to find God, the ability to find peace within ourselves. That's what the responsibility of that mineral path. And these minerals are called trace minerals. And that's what is in this formula here, trace minerals. Let's see over the Prophet Bell bring some cups so we can all try some trace minerals. Right now would be a good time to do this. You know, should have some, we have some little cups here. Yeah, how would you like to try? Everybody try these minerals? I know some of you are real mineral hogs in here. I know Roy is, I know Joe is. How many of you haven't tried these minerals? Oh, boy, we got to try these right now. Woo. Okay, you want to start turning everybody?
Yeah, everybody's trying the Pirlo. It's an amazing formula. We talked about that last night on the Morgellon disease. It's something we've been using against that disease for several years now. We were detecting it in the outward stages.
What a rush I'm in now. These minerals are real interesting. They come from clay. And clay from an Indian reservation. When they take clay, they're subjected to deionized water. Clay, red clay, is only a 2,000-year-old vegetation. A vegetation that lived during the time when the ozone layer, the ultraviolet level, wasn't too high. And vegetation got the proper consciousness, intelligence from sunlight, which it doesn't get now. So, these minerals work. Not too many minerals on the store these days work. Okay, now anybody have any questions on the minerals? On any minerals? Another form of mineral is quartz. This is a real interesting form here, quartz. Have you got your mineral with you on?
Macaroni?
Whatever you're carrying. Hope you got a mineral there.